This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, the authors, the others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, you've raised your child. He's an adult, but he still lives at home. Now what? We have parenting advice for you. Plus, your mom took all sorts of care in raising you. Still, you're not real confident about the Mother's Day gift you bought her, are you? We'll try to fix that for you as well. Let's meet the friends. It's always a good hair day for Jennifer Bjorklund.
Not always. Well, she says she's possibly the first person who fell victim to public humiliation by way of the internet, and she's back in the headlines. So what is Monica Lewinsky's big pet peeve?
Bouncing back from the common cold so you don't have to. It's Jay Campadonia.
Phil, a man trying to turn his life around after getting into a shootout with Albuquerque police is denied a shining moment at his graduation.
And I'm pretty sure I just caught him checking his reflection in the studio window. Chris Martin is here.
I have a list of vintage slang terms that some people want to hear make a comeback. Let's see if you agree.
Slang. All right, let's get things started. Jennifer, it seems like way past Monica Lewinsky's 60 Seconds of Fame.
It does, doesn't it? Can you believe she's 40?
No, but yes.
I know. It's been that long. I mean,
she is the oldest intern ever.
She was a kid back in the day. She says, thanks to the Drudge Report, she believes she might have possibly been the first person whose global humiliation was driven by the internet. And that's probably true.
That happens all the time now.
Yeah. She's written a piece in Vanity Fair and says, after the scandal, I turned down offers that would have earned me more than $10 million because they just didn't feel like the right thing to do.
What do you think those kind of offers would be there, Jen?
Probably not wearing a lot of clothes is my guess, but that's just a guess.
In a room with other people who perhaps
also
are similarly unclothed.
Perhaps. And she does, this is her big pet peeve.
Is that a delicate way to put things?
Yeah, or, you know.
A little too delicate, but okay.
I mean, but still, it's fodder for, if you watch the White House Correspondents' Dinner, there was a Monica Lewinsky joke in there.
There always is.
There was a reference to a cigar that people laughed kind of too soon.
Yeah.
You know, she does request one correction of Beyonce regarding the lyrics of a recent hit, Partition. Thanks, Beyonce, but if we're verbing, I think you meant Bill Clinton'd all on my gown, not Monica Lewinsky'd. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so she's like, all of a sudden, she's the English teacher?
Apparently
so.
Is she
diagramming the lyrics?
Like, come on, you guys. Right?
Holy cow.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. It's in Vanity Fair.
Anything unusual come out of the Oscar Pistorius trial?
Have you heard all the howling that has come out of the Oscar Pistorius?
Actual howling?
Yes. The judge, is asking for, you know, what did you hear? What did it sound like? And the witnesses are actually making the sound. So it's been kind of interesting. But this is what struck me. Someone else was inside Oscar Pistorius's house the night he shot his girlfriend to death. It was his longtime housekeeper, a guy named Frank Chiziweni.
Well, Frank should know exactly
what happened. Well, but he's not taking the stand.
No.
That's what I thought, Phil.
Right. In the 16 months since the shooting, it was believed, everybody commonly thought that it was just Pistorius and victim Reva Steenkamp there at the home. We're being told now the defense and prosecution have declined to call Chiziweni. He's a Malawian. They didn't call him to the stand because they thought he wouldn't have said anything. He told police he slept through the whole thing. I'm thinking shades of Cato Kaelin. I mean, how, you know. He's just the guy
at the
house, right? It's like
house guest, house
didn't
boy.
I didn't hear a thing. Yeah. You know, what's that worth?
Anyway. How many times did he shoot her? Do we know? Do we remember? 4 or 5 times?
Lots.
How do you sleep through 4 or 5 gunshots?
Exactly.
Unless it had one of those TV-style silencers, but I don't think it did because those don't really exist. But
and also, that would kind of take his defense away.
Yeah, it would.
It's like,
exactly.
Use a silencer for.
Yeah, especially if he stuck it on there first.
Right, exactly.
All right. Okay, now, there's an interesting story out of New York, and I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but I think this lady has a beef with the NYPD.
You think? She's suing the city police department, the NYPD, claiming officers have raided her home 4 times in just this past year trying to arrest her husband. Trouble is, he's been dead for 8 years. The raids continued even after this woman, her name's Karen Fennell, she posted his death certificate over her front door showing that her husband, James Jordan, died in March 2006. And they still want to raid her home.
A likely story.
A likely story.
Anybody can make a death certificate online.
I know, but you know, it's like you never know when they're going to come pound down your door. And she's got kids and, you know.
Is he like an ex-mobster kind of guy? Like a Whitey Bulger? Like, oh, he's dead.
I don't think so. It's one of these cases where something just got lost in the translation. They keep going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that green light for a lawsuit at that stage, by the way, like the fourth time?
I think.
Yeah. Is that the statute of harassment? No.
I think I've heard that saying, third time's the charm, fourth time's the lawsuit.
Right.
Something like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And somebody got a package in the mail, and I am jealous. I wish I got it.
Right. Okay. So how would you like to get an unexpected delivery worth $350,000? So a college student in Massachusetts got a package from UPS. Amazingly, I mean, I get a new iPhone, you have to leave a signature for it, right?
Right.
This guy gets a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration
NOAA
Puma drone.
A drone?
Yes. He posted some pictures of the thing on Reddit. He says, and we think it's a he, I should mention the label on the exterior was addressed to me. Nothing on the outside of the crate said it was government property. He says, I ordered a weightlifting bench, which I received, and this came with it.
Wow.
Awesome.
Both boxes had UPS labels with his name and address. Though an odd box, I genuinely thought it was the parts for the bench I ordered. I wasn't expecting a freaking drone.
Is it a usable operational
drone?
No, and
that's the problem is it's just parts of it. It's like the wing and the control panel.
I would so want to fire that up and start flying it, wouldn't you?
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, by the way, NOAA has responded and also posted on Reddit, which I think is kind of groundbreaking, that they have no idea how a random college student received the drone.
What they asked, return to sender?
Kind of, yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if Amazon delivered the drone via drone?
Well, yeah.
By accident.
Yeah, by Oops. Accident. All right, Jay, over to you. You piqued my interest with this graduation story. What's exactly happening? Why is this guy not allowed to get the diploma on stage?
Well, apparently due to his wheelchair.
What?
So here's the deal. Bad guy at one point in time of his life got into a shootout with Albuquerque police. Albuquerque police ended up shooting and wounding the guy, paralyzing him from the waist down. So now he's going to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Well, as part of, you know, trying to turn everything around and try just to, you know, be a better person
of
for
standing
society.
Citizen.
Yes. He went to school and now has his associate's degree.
Okay.
But now it's time to go walk down the aisle, do the graduation walk and all these things. School officials at New Mexico Community College say that he cannot go up on the stage due to, quote, safety concerns.
Don't they? There's the Americans with Disabilities Act. Doesn't the stage have to comply?
Because of safety concerns, this is a direct quote from the school's release statement, the decision is to not allow wheelchairs onto the stage area. And that's all they've said. This guy is definitely taking issue, looking into legal action against the school. And he's basically saying, look, I went through a very troublesome time in my life. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to make things better in my life.
And isn't that what we want? We want people who've made mistakes to rehabilitate themselves and get back into society.
And this guy is a perfect example of that.
Productive individuals.
Exactly. So now he's got his family who want to go to the graduation, and this is what's going to have to happen. They're going to call his name like they would everybody else, and then he'll have to wheel himself in front of the stage. Not with all the cameras, not with all the other alumni, not with all the distinguished guests that are on the stage. Wheel right by the front of the stage. He'll get his diploma. And then
what, are they
going to
toss it off the front of the stage? Here, catch?
I don't know.
And is he the only handicapped person that's ever going to attend that school?
The indignity of this. I mean, it's wrong.
It's completely terrible.
I think he wins this case.
Any day, hands down.
Yeah. All right, Jay.
So we'll keep an eye on it.
Now, makes you want to say something in slang. Chris,
yep.
You have this list of vintage slang terms that people want to bring back. What are they?
Yeah, and I don't know if slang's the right word for it. Some of these don't seem very slangish, but I'll run through them real quick. Here's 11 terms. See if you agree. Number one is groovy, which was Mike's favorite word.
Yeah.
Bring back groovy. Our executive producer, Mike Stark, uses groovy on a daily basis.
Swell.
Swell.
No.
Gee, that's swell.
I think it's cute.
Let that one die.
They've used that along with howdy, mister.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie Haskell.
How about radical?
I like that.
That's a surfer kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This one's my favorite, Scram.
I use that. See, and you guys tell me I'm a geezer.
You use Scram?
I say Scram, yeah. And Split, too. I say Split.
Go on, get out of here. Scram.
Yeah.
That's how you use that.
I don't know.
Neat.
Oh, I like neat, but it's very tongue-in-cheek, and I'm making fun of you. Oh, that's neat.
I only use it when I'm ordering my drinks.
How about funky?
Funky?
Atta girl.
That's what you get after you order a couple of drinks.
That's right.
A little bit, right?
And if it's really good, you call it the bee's knees.
I like bee's knees. I use it all the time.
You use that?
I use it in emails. I use it in emails at work.
How about better than sliced bread? I just threw that one in there, but you hear that one occasionally.
Bee's knees. That's such a grandma thing.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
No.
No, let it die.
Tubular.
Tubular.
Let that die.
Another surfer thing.
This one's a little bit of a term, hot to trot.
Yeah.
And then one that still lives in Boston on a daily basis, wicked.
Oh,
that one
wicked
never,
cool.
Yeah, that one
wicked.
Never left.
All right.
Wicked cool, man.
I don't know. I think you'd need to stand in the corner until we say so. Because that's the kind of parenting skills we have, right? We're brought up to send the kids in the corner. We don't know why, but our parents consulted Dr. Spock for tips on how to raise children. But this advice was based on you growing up, getting a job, moving out, getting married, and making a life for yourself. In today's world, good luck if your child is established and moved out by his 30th birthday. Sounds like we need a new book. And lucky for you, the author of that book joins us live next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. So glad you tuned in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil, Jennifer's here, so are Chris and Jay. And what do you do about Junior, still living at home in his mid-20s, with no prospect in sight of leaving? You need a guide. And providing that guide right now is Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnott. He wrote the book, Getting to 30, A Parent's Guide to the 20-something Years. And it's kind of sad we need this, doctor, but thank you very much for being on today.
You're welcome.
Set up the problem for us. How different are things today versus the 1960s?
Well, things are quite a bit different. People stay in education longer. They take longer to find a way to a stable job. They marry a lot later. They have their first child later. So a lot has changed about the 20s. It used to be this time of moving into a stable adult life, and now it's all over the place. They change directions in education. They change jobs a lot. They change love partners. They're trying to make their way toward adult life, but it takes longer than it used to.
Do you have an idea what percentage of 18 to 34-year-olds are still living at home?
Yeah, it's about 40%.
Whoa. That's a lot.
Well, you know, a lot of them are still going to school more than in the past. And if they finish school, they're looking for a job, but the youth unemployment rate is very high right now. If they're lucky enough to find a job, it might be only a part-time job that doesn't give them enough money to live independently. And if they're working full-time, often the jobs that they're getting at that age don't pay enough to live on.
Yeah. All right. So here's the conundrum. Here's the challenge. They want to live independently, but they still live at home with mom and dad. And now you have to establish the guidelines, because you're dealing with an adult child and an ever-aging adult child. But does it always come back to that whole my roof, my rules thing, or do you have to adjust that somehow?
I think for the most part it doesn't come to that. I mean, in my experience and in my research with emerging adults, 18 to 29-year-olds, and also their parents, they usually get along surprisingly well. You know, the kids are in their 20s. They can understand adult logic. They have adult logic themselves. They can have a conversation about who should do what and what the arrangement should be. So they and their parents get along surprisingly well, even when they're living at home.
But here's my question. I know when I go to visit my parents, I am sometimes just, all of a sudden, I'm an 8-year-old child again.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like we press each other's buttons. They remember me and they treat you like a child and you act like a child. I mean, that has to be the case for a lot of, when you're in your 20s, you're not really a fully formed adult, shall we say. You're still dealing with some of the same deals that you had with your parents as you were growing up, aren't you?
To some extent. We have a chapter in Getting to 30 called From Parent and Child to Something Like Friends. And we're recognizing that it's only something like friends because you never quite lose that parent-child relationship and what that's built on from when the kids were very young. But it does become different. They really do learn to treat each other more like adults and more like friends. I have a lot of parents and a lot of emerging adults talk about how it's more like a friendship now. Again, it's not exactly like a friendship because, you know, your friends don't ask you for money as often.
I was going to say,
right?
They're not living off your friends.
For money, but it's more like a friendship. And they both really appreciate how much they like each other's company and how well they get along by the time the kids are in their 20s.
Speaking of Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnott here, he has the book Getting to 30, A Parent's Guide to the 20-somethings. All right, here's a challenge for you, doctor, and see if you could figure this one out. You have your adult son in his 20-somethings, somewhere north of 25, and he brings home his very adult 20-something girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Who starts coming around more and more often, and perhaps they want to engage in things that adults engage in, and gets to the point where maybe she wants to spend the night here and there, and eventually maybe even move into the house. I mean, that probably isn't all that uncommon a situation. What do you say to that?
No, well, I'm not about to tell parents what their policy should be, but I think most parents realize that by the time their kids are in their 20s, if they're in a romantic relationship, sex is going to be part of it. And that does make for some tension in the household because the kids, you know, they usually think that it's no big deal. And, of course, you're going to have a sexual relationship with somebody you're involved in. But the parents don't quite see it that way. And so I do think that if 20-something kids are living at home, they have to abide by the parents' rules. And that's whether they like it or not.
What do you think is worse, doctor, the horrifying thought of your parents having sex or parents realizing that their child is having sex in the next room as they stay awake at night staring at the ceiling?
It's something that pretty much everybody does now and then, so it shouldn't be that shocking. But it still is shocking to many Americans. It's hard to get used to. I think that's the most difficult issue, really, for parents when they have kids living at home. It's far more problematic than who cleans the bathroom.
Yeah, I say throw the kid out. Throw the kid out.
Well, you know? So often it's the boyfriend or the girlfriend is the bone of contention with mom or with dad, and that could create quite a bit of animosity in the household, could it not?
Right. It could, but, you know, it is your house. You get to set the rules, and you can look at it as giving them another incentive to get to the point where they can move out on their own.
Yeah.
And most of them will as soon as they can. They're usually home for economic reasons.
Or as soon as you say, you know, we can hear you, right?
Yeah.
That's incentive.
How about expectations when it comes to chores and helping out with the family expenses and the food and that sort of thing? I mean, even if they are between jobs.
Certainly by the time your child is an emerging adulthood, they should be making an adult contribution to the household. There's no reason why they can't do an equal share of shopping for groceries and doing the laundry and, yes, cleaning the bathroom. And most of them will expect to do that. I mean, in our national survey of parents of 18 to 29-year-olds that we did for this book, Getting to 30, most parents said that was one of the nice things about having their kids at home is that the kids did their
free labor,
household chores.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have somebody to share those things with and not having to do them all yourself.
Our youngest member on the crew here, Chris Martin, how long have you been out of the home there? You just had your 30th birthday.
Just had my 30th birthday. I was out relatively young, like 18 years old, but I've had to jump back in and out, and I was curious, do you think these kids that stay at home longer till even their 30s, do you think they're going to turn out better in the long run? They'll become more developed, or do you think it's going to hinder them?
Well, it depends on what they're home for. I mean, a lot of them stay home because they're still getting an education. And there's just abundant education, that the more education you get, the better off you are in the long run during adulthood. So if that's why they're home, then that's good. If they're home because they have problems, and a lot of them do have problems of one kind or another, either physical health or mental health, some of them have substance abuse issues, then, of course, it's not a good thing. It's a sign that they're not making it to adulthood at the pace that their peers are, and they might have problems well into their 30s and 40s.
What do you say to parents who are kind of either consciously or subconsciously leaning toward those empty nest years longingly?
Well, I say be patient. They are coming. And you'll be surprised how much you miss your kids when they finally leave for good, because you will miss them.
I know my mom misses me.
Really?
I know that. She loves
does?
Me. I know. It's difficult, but mothers, they miss more than dad. Dad's like, finally, out.
Well, this is very eye-opening. I think we learned a little bit here, and we'll learn more if we read the book Getting to 30, A Parent's Guide to the 20-something Years. Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnott, thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
When we return, there's a new computer program that tells you exactly how much fast food you can buy with the change that's in your pocket right now. All right, jingle it a little bit. We're going to try this. We're going to put it to the test next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. It's a Tuesday here on KFWB News Talk 980. As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends is the name of the program. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. And if you ever miss one of the programs, you're welcome to listen on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go there often. Thank you very much. Jennifer Bjorklund is here, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. And we have some stories for you here. First of all, there is something. It's an amazing little thing that we're going to put to the test right now. A guy came up with a computer program that basically it tells you exactly how much Taco Bell food you can purchase for the amount of money that you have in your pocket. And what he'll do is the program will get you the most calorie for the buck.
So if you're living on a budget, you only got some jangle in your pocket.
Yeah.
What, you type it in?
Now, here's how it works.
How do we do this?
You send an email, and we're going to try this right now.
Oh, okay.
Who's got money?
Who's got change?
I got a whole thing full of change.
All right.
Count it up.
You send an email to Taco Bell at sendmail.
What do you have in there?
Oh, my God.
.io.
This is my life. When you're starving, and you're in the drive-thru line, and you got to count it up, and you're like, okay, wait, hang on. I'm not sure what I want yet, because I don't know how much I got.
All right, we're going to send this email to Taco Bell at sendmail.io and see what we can get.
I see a Susan B. Anthony, a Buffalo Head
no,
nickel.
No. There's no classic. I have $4.20. $4.24.
Yeah. That's not
okay.
bad. That's a nice.
That's
call.
A lot of change.
Here's what you do: you send the email and you put the amount of money in the subject line. That's all you have to do, and you press send. So that's what I'm going to do: $4.24 to Taco Bell at sendmail.io, and I'm pressing send. And okay, so
we'll find out how much.
Very shortly, we're going to
how
find out.
Calories or how okay, many calories?
Here's something on the other end of the spectrum. If you got a lot of money to spend,
yep.
Etihad Airways. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
They do fly into LAX. They've raised the bar in luxury travel with the launch of a new 3-bedroom apartment that comes with an in-suite shower, double bed, and a personal butler from that butler school, the Savoy Butler Academy in London. It's aptly called The Residence, and this is on the A380 upper deck. It's a flying hotel suite. So the butler is there to cater to your whims. A dedicated concierge team looks after the passengers' travel experience from ground transport to cuisine to amenities.
Can I get a Groupon for that?
I don't think so. I don't think you're the wrong audience, Phil.
I doubt it, man.
So if you're a Muslim flyer, because Etihad is I think it's a Dubai-based. Well, I could be wrong, but it's got Arabic writing on the logo and the tail, so I'm thinking it's a Islamic country. Both the new A380 and the B787 aircraft are offering designated prayer areas too, which are curtained off and equipped with real-time electronic Qibla finder. That's showing the exact direction of Mecca based on the aircraft geographical position. So you can position yourself to point east while you pray. So I priced us out a flight.
Did you?
It's only flying. They're starting in 2015 out of London Heathrow. So if we're in London, we feel like flying to Dubai.
Yeah.
We can get this suite for the 9-hour trip. You want to guess? One way?
I smell a remote from London. That's what I smell.
I do.
Okay.
15, 17 grand in that range?
$21,749.14.
Wow. And you have to take a trip to Harrods to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Is that each or for all of us?
That's for the suite. So, yeah, it's a 3-room apartment. I think you can. Ooh, wouldn't that be awesome if it was like a box at Staples Center and you could just bring as many
people? Oh, I got the Taco Bell email.
Yeah.
Oh, that was quick.
$4.24 will get you a smothered beef burrito.
Mm.
That's $2.99 right there. That's 700 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And a bean burrito, another $1.09.
Let's do the math.
370 calories. So that's 1,070 calories.
1,070 calories.
Just those two things are 1,000 calories?
$4.24. So Taco Bell has 40 cents per calorie.
40 calories.
40 calories percent, yeah.
A penny for 40 calories?
My wow. math is
Why is
so
that
off.
Information useful?
I don't know.
Good job, Jen.
I just wanted to break it down for you.
Well, it works. Good. It works. Go ahead and try that.
You're now the smartest person in the room. Congratulations.
All right.
So
and you know that,
that
famous guy from Manhattan there on Broadway, plays a guitar, wears a cowboy hat, not much else. He's a smart guy.
New York icon. Commonly known as the Naked Cowboy, his actual name is Robert Burke, now has finally got something that I thought happened a long time ago. He now has his own underwear line, Phil.
Really? It's about time.
Finally, yes. So he's actually teaming up with Fruit of the Loom, which is no joke when it comes to the underwear game, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're going to be selling all different kinds of boxers and briefs at Walmart, Kmart, Target stores.
They've got to be white.
$14.
Are they all white?
No, several colors.
Really?
He wears a tidy whiteys, though, doesn't he?
Tidy whiteys, and it says the Naked Cowboy across his derriere there. So, yeah, I think it's great. Now there's a giant billboard in Times Square that says, even the Naked Cowboy has changed his underwear. And it'll market the different colors. And
we need to get an endorsement deal for the guitar-playing, roller-skating turban guy on the Venice Boardwalk. Right.
What, like sponsored by Fender or like a guitar? Or
I don't know. We got to get
him the turban?
Something.
I know. The Naked Cowboy.
He's an icon out here, right?
Well, how
right.
long has the Naked Cowboy been out there?
A long time.
This is like decades
you know,
at this point.
Last time
right?
I was in New York City, it was the Naked Cowgirl.
Yes.
Like she's there sometimes.
That was controversy.
Cool. Yeah.
They almost had to like duke it out in court, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is so dumb.
Yeah.
I know. I took a picture. I took a picture of her and didn't give her any money.
No, you get chased down for that.
I did. I ran.
Oh, boy.
I'm fast.
Yeah, one guy who's not running is the oldest man in the world, but we're glad he's around. And Chris, you know about him.
Alexander Emich is his name, and he just inherited the throne of the world's oldest man at 111 years old.
Well, that's great. I mean, well, that's actually sad for somebody else, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah, it sure is. For Arthur Licata of Italy, who just showed up just shy of his 112th birthday before he passed away. And Alexander has some advice for us. If we want to live a long, healthy life, here's what he says. Don't smoke, don't drink, play sports, eat an Eastern mystic diet, and don't have any children.
A mystic?
What is
no
an
kids.
Eastern mystic diet?
Yeah, an Eastern mystic diet.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think the no kids thing is probably trumping the Eastern mystic
yeah.
diet.
It totally
right.
is.
I'm no on kids? Board with that.
Yeah, the level of stress that they bring into your life, that's what he's talking about, right?
What's the thing about how kids keep you young? That's a lie.
No, that's somebody else's kids, not yours.
Oh.
Interesting fact here. There are 66 women older than Mr. Emich.
Older than 111?
Older than 111. So the oldest person in the world is a woman. And real quickly, in 1903, when this guy was born, is the year that the first teddy bear went on sale and the Wright brothers took to the skies in the first aeroplane.
Wow.
Yep.
Aeroplane.
Fun fact for you. That's how they pronounced it back
that's
then.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Aeroplane.
That's neat. I like good callback,
well,
Phil.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing up the aeroplane because I should have talked about this when we were talking about the 3-bedroom suite in the airplane. But there's a girl in her 20s, and how much of a bad girl do you have to be? You're flying from London to Vegas with your parents. She was doing this last week. She met a random guy on the plane. They started talking. And they decided, after talking for a while, to join the Mile High Club.
Okay.
Oh,
you know what that means, right?
Family trip, yeah.
That's nice.
Flight attendants broke them up. They didn't have to use a hose or anything like you would on the front lawn. With,
man.
No, but just the same. They broke them up because they were getting too loud, and the young lady started arguing, so they put the handcuffs on her.
Oh,
wow.
No.
Again, she's on a flight with her parents.
With her parents.
And cops escorted her off the plane in Vegas, where this information was supposed to stay, but it didn't, apparently.
Well, what happens in above on the way to Vegas isn't under that same contract.
It's outside of the clause?
I would think
you
so.
You have to do it in the zip code of
Vegas. Airspace,
right?
You bet.
It's a
coming into McCarran.
Anyway,
on approach.
Ultimately, somebody saw the humor in all of this. They let her off with a warning.
Good. That's good.
She still had to wear the bracelets.
Sure.
For a
well,
while.
They didn't want her going back into the bathroom.
What would Dad say? Let's leave those cuffs on her for a while.
That's right. Daddy's little girl.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm actually glad that she met a random guy and she wasn't cheating on her boyfriend or something to that effect. That would add a lot more drama to this. But I found this cool little list. It's eight things you don't know about your cheater. So if your significant other is cheating or possibly cheating, pay attention. Cheaters are more likely to be rock and roll fans.
Oh.
Huh.
The aggressive music adds to more aggressive behavior. When a woman cheats on a man, it is more devastating to the relationship than if a man cheats on a woman, because women are more forgiving. No, you're not buying that one? I think we're going to go on the law of averages.
Jen's not forgiving you, and you guys aren't even together.
I know.
No, that makes no sense, though. If women are more forgiving, then... Oh, yeah, okay.
They want to
fix it. It works out.
They want to fix it.
I'm like,
you
what?
Are on your game today, girl.
All right, one more, because we have to move along.
Cheaters tend to be more friskier in life when they are cheating. So if you're starting to get it a little more than usual, you might want to start asking some questions.
If your significant other is suddenly friskier.
Correct.
More amorous.
More into you, more into...
It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
The dirty deed.
It does.
Well, kind of plays into that whole, like, hey, I'm getting it everywhere.
You've just ruined it for everybody.
Well, I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot.
You shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
All right. How confident are you about the gift that you're getting, Mom, for Mother's Day? Pretty confident? Oh, you're confident, huh?
I got her a good one.
Yeah. Well, if the latest polling is accurate, well, let's just say there's a pretty good chance Mom is going to be disappointed with what you got her. We'll try to help you out next and As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We have breaking news here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Jennifer, what's going on at the White House?
A suspicious car reportedly placed the White House on lockdown for a little while earlier today. It looks like the driver followed a motorcade onto the White House grounds. My buddy over at NBC, Peter Alexander, tweeting that the Secret Service told him the driver's in custody after trailing the motorcade that contained the Obama girls.
Oh.
Sasha and Malia going home. Someone just decided to join the party. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a gray Honda Civic.
Well, maybe he
sedan.
Was just confused.
Yeah, maybe. But someone is in custody and lockdown's over.
All right. Well, thanks for that. If you are among the small percentage of Americans who is confident about the gift you're getting Mom for Mother's Day, you're either awesome or delusional. Let's bring on our next guest. It's Trey Bodge. Trey is with RetailMeNot.com, and they have an app, and it's a lot of fun. Trey, nice to talk to you, as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right, great. Now, what percentage, Trey, of Americans are not very confident about their gift choice for mom this year?
Oh, it's a whopping number. 9 in 10% of Americans, according to our recent poll, are not confident in their gifts that they're buying their mother. And furthermore, they are very concerned that their moms are going to return the gifts that they've so carefully selected for her.
That's such a diss from mom, isn't it? And whether you know it or not. And sometimes mom forgets and she repackages it and gives it to you later.
Oh, no.
Why do you think this is, though?
Well, you know, I think what it is that we're worrying a lot about nothing, because the poll also showed that only 30% of moms have actually ever returned a mom gift at one point or another. So it's happening a lot less than we think it is. And the other thing is we asked moms what they want for Mother's Day. And, you know, this year, moms are going to be very easy to please. They want very tried and true gifts. They want to spend time with the family first and foremost, but then also maybe a spa gift card or a nice meal out. And then the last gift that moms really want is a gift card from their favorite store so they can go shopping for themselves.
I wonder if when you ask mom, they'll say one thing. But for me, the problem with mom is she has everything. Or she prefers to buy her own stuff, but in some passive-aggressive way, she makes you feel bad for getting a gift card because of how little effort you put into it. After all, she gave birth to you. She washed you. She diapered you. She fed you, et cetera, et cetera. You know the old story. So what's a child to do to please mom?
Well, you know, I think many years ago, gift cards or gift certificates were sort of a strange gift. We were revealing how much we were spending. It kind of indicated that we weren't giving much thought to the gift, like you said. But these days, especially now we've kind of emerged from the recession, gift cards and gift certificates are okay. Retail Me Not polls about this all the time. We're so curious to see how the consumer is changing their minds about gift cards. And they're very popular gifts. People love to have permission to shop for themselves. And a gift card gives them just that.
Now, I have a quick question. I'm 35 years old. I don't make a lot of money because I work in radio. Can I still give the macaroni mosaic? Would that be all right?
No.
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 Come on.
Isn't it the thought that counts?
Yeah, no, it's not the thought that counts. You're 35 years old. You have no business hot gluing macaroni.
So we have to buy something. This is what you're saying.
You can make something. Just make it something nice.
My macaroni mosaics are the best.
Well, make something like a window box for the flowers, something like
right,
that.
Right, or go fix something at her house. I mean, my mom loves that kind of thing.
Is that good stuff right there, Trey?
I think that's great stuff. If you're on a budget, there's no need to go overboard. Make something useful, like these guys were talking about. Offer to take her somewhere, drive her somewhere where she's been wanting to go, and go look at some flowers or go to the museum. Do something with her. Because, like I said, our survey really showed that moms do want to spend time with their family. So that is something that you can certainly offer. And she wouldn't want you going overboard and, you know, going into debt over her Mother's Day gift. So be creative, but definitely not the macaroni necklace.
Spend some time, macaroni necklace. Spend some time with mom. That's what. Otherwise, you know, it gets frustrating sometimes when we overthink all of this and we worry about it. And you just come to the point where you say, can we just cancel Mother's Day?
Oh, really? How about we just cancel you?
Whoa!
I mean, that's my mother. She's like, I gave birth to you. Cancel my day?
Well,
exactly.
You know, we shouldn't have all this kind of consternation around what should be a happy day.
Absolutely. And again, moms are so easy to shop for, especially this year. And Retail Me Not tries to make it easy for you by setting up a Mother's Day page that is a great reference point for if you're having trouble figuring out what to get for mom or you're looking for savings. You just go to the Mother's Day page. There are coupons and promo codes to save on your Mother's Day gift, and then lots of gift advice for every budget, for under 25, under 50, under 75, whatever your budget may be. There's a lot of great advice there.
And after all, that's what Retail Me Not is all about. You're not selling anything, but you're getting people savings with through the coupons and the advice and all of that, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, while if you like to shop in store, like you mentioned before, use the coupons app. It's geolocated, which means that if you have your GPS turned on and you walk into your local mall, you'll be alerted to deals that you can use right there at the register. You don't have to think about clipping coupons or bringing your circular. So you can just walk in and see what's on sale right there.
What do you have any kids, Trey?
I do. I have one. She's 7.
All right. So I was going to say, what's that worthless child getting you this?
Yeah, what's she getting you?
I'm seeing, what's she getting you for this Mother's Day?
She's listening. She's like, well, so much for that macaroni thing I was going to do.
I would accept happily a macaroni necklace from a 7-year-old, but not from a 35-year-old.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Now we've learned something today. Well, Trey, it's always great to talk to you, and thank you very much. Have a happy Mother's Day.
Same to you guys. Take care.
All right. There she goes with RetailMeNot.com. Well, Jennifer, you seem a little miffed.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't look on it with consternation. You should be really excited to get your mom something.
See, this is the thing, the difference between men and women. I mean, shopping for stuff is such a sport for women, and for guys, it's just like, oh,
you know,
man,
go with the gift card.
Yeah.
What she did say was a real key. It gives her permission to shop for something for herself, and that's the thing. If you can give your mom something that you bought for her, and if she doesn't like it, she'll feel guilty taking it back. But how much fun to have the credit at the store and go buy something for myself. So, you know.
Well, this is inspiring.
Yeah.
It is. It's too late, but it's inspiring.
It's not too late for a gift card.
Well, yeah, I guess I could return that other stuff later.
Yeah.
Right.
Better you than her.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, save us here. Do you have any good story for us?
I've got something that is now classified as a dangerous weapon by the Massachusetts State Police.
They had to come up with a new one?
They had to come up with a new one after an incident took place where a suspect injured a victim at an eatery. In Massachusetts.
Eatery? Well, that sounds like police talk to me.
An eatery? Who says that?
An establishment.
Evidently, two people got into a dust-up at a restaurant in Massachusetts, and the victim actually suffered a blister on her face.
A face blister?
What was this weapon, Jay?
After somebody smashed her face with a hot piece of pizza.
That's the weapon?
That is now a dangerous weapon in Massachusetts.
Officially classified as a dangerous weapon.
Officially classified. Look out now.
I have a related story. You know who Bear Grylls is?
Yeah, the survivalist guy.
The man versus wild dude?
Yeah.
He says his coolest scar is not from any of the thousands of extreme adventures he's endured. It's a scar he got across his chest from pulling a hot pizza out of the oven. Something you didn't know.
Dangerous weapon.
Yeah.
Look out.
Okay. Hey, we love your feedback. Send us an email at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. You can listen to anything you missed on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at As We See It Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. On tomorrow's show, what do you do about your sick dog or your cat? We'll find out when the pet doctor joins us live next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.